Emily Boyle is joining us now for the paper. She is following, of course, what the papers are saying about the death of the Pope, Emily.
Yes, well, the Vatican paper, L'Osservatore Romano, had this front page today announcing that Pope Francis had passed away on Monday at the age of 88. And obviously, this was the news on the front pages of most papers around the world today. And the Pope was remembered in a number of ways, the Figaro's front page here. They were part of those who were highlighting his dedication in his final days. We can see it down here, jusqu'au dernier souffle, to his last breath. It's a similar tone on the Daily Star here. Among his flock, to the end, with a photo above here of his appearances over the Easter weekend. One term that kept coming back in the English language press was the People's Pope. We can see it here in the Daily Mirror with this photo that also came back a lot. For instance, in Australia and the Herald Sun, they went for Pope of the People, but this idea was coming back a lot. They call him a pioneering pontiff who taught people universal love.
Well, while some were looking at his dedication on their front pages, other papers seem to be focusing on his politics. What do you have for us on that?
Yes, well, another way of remembering him, it seems, is looking at his politics and his attitude to the papacy. The Philippine Daily Inquirer here has it: reform, humility and inclusion. The Times of Malta was took a bit more of a stance. They call it the death of a revolutionary. They remember him as a defender of social justice and a humble pastor. Meanwhile, in France, La Croix has this headline: Le pape qui voulait réformer l'église, the pope who wanted to reform the church. They say he leaves a deep trace in the church's history.
So beyond defining our memory of Pope Francis, then, how have the papers been discussing his legacy?
Exactly. If you look beyond the front pages, the press is debating what exactly that legacy might be. Let's start off in Argentina, where he was from. Clarín, the paper Clarín here, says his papacy will have been one of contradictions. It says he's been often criticised for questioning untouchable truths, but his tendency to speak frankly was also what he was celebrated for, going from contradictions to complexities. Politico had this headline: the complex legacy of Pope Francis. With a more critical view, they call it a dramatic papacy, frustrating for both conservatives and progressives. The article says he was elected to clean up the church, but that he leaves it an institution that hasn't addressed its own failings, from priestly abuse to the misuse of Vatican finances. It also looks at the Pope's reforms, saying that although he appointed 110 of the 138 cardinals who will elect his successor, they might not necessarily support his view for the future now he's gone. In France, finally, the Libé had this article: Un pape moins révolutionnaire qu'espéré, a pope less revolutionary than hoped. They highlight his activism for the rights of migrants, his scepticism of capitalism, and his vocal political stances, for instance, against Donald Trump most recently. But this article says that despite his attempts to change the priorities of the church, it has remained stuck on questions about sexual morals and abortion. Their greatest disappointment is his failure, for instance, to open the church up to women. It says the Pope leaves behind a fragile heritage which might not survive his next successor.
Yeah, indeed, the world, of course, now starting to wonder what on earth happens next. Speculation about who the next Pope could be, of course. What are the papers saying on that one?
Well, indeed, it's a very mysterious process that happens behind closed doors. The Guardian had this explainer on their website, a conclave explainer. It explains that around 135 cardinal electors will go to Rome for the vote. A candidate has to win two-thirds majority. And if a pope has been chosen, of course, then white smoke will be shown from the Vatican chimney. Now, the Washington Post was looking at who the contenders might be. Francis personally appointed many of the voting cardinals. Today, the College of Cardinals is at its most diverse. It's set to be the largest conclave yet, but also one of the most unpredictable. It's all very suspenseful and secretive. And the press is already turning to Hollywood to get an idea of what might be about to happen. We got a glimpse of it in the Oscar-winning film Conclave about the election of a new pope. And we're seeing a sort of a conclavification of the coverage today. Many expect the papal election to be more followed because of the success of the film. We can take a look, for example, at People magazine. This headline obviously illustrating how coverage has changed of these mysterious Vatican traditions. Then the Times in the UK has a picture here from the film with Ralph Fiennes acting in the film Conclave. It says that the film illustrates the battle lines that we might find today in the Vatican. Finally, the New York Times, also with the same photo still from the film. It says it's one of the most accurate depictions of the tense election process. One thing is for sure, we'll never know if it's quite as vicious as it is in the film. We'll just have to wait and see for that white smoke.
Yeah, exactly. You have to remember it's a dramatisation, but it does give you a bit of an insight about how the whole thing functions. It's a good film. Not sure about the ending, but anyway, good film. Emily, thanks a lot, Emily Boyle with the papers.
Thank you.